thankful that we were chosen to share the word of the Lord with one another. So I'm very thankful to be here today to share the word of the Lord with you. And I hope that the Spirit will work within you, that you may gain a blessing from it. And not just gain a blessing from it, but use this to further your relationship with Jesus Christ. And not only your relationship, but those around you. Because if it's just going to further your relationship, that's pretty self-centered, right? We want to take what we know, and we want to bring it to others. And one of my questions, I guess, today is, what defines you? Who are you? When you get up in the morning and you look in the mirror, do you see a servant of Jesus Christ? Or what do you see? Or do you see this person that needs to get ready to go to work so they can get done, so they can do this, so they can do that, so they can do something else? And then you go to bed at night exhausted and you start the whole week the same way. Once in a while I do that, and once in a while I take time to think about it. But most of the time I get up in the morning, I'm in a hurry, always in a hurry, always in a hurry, never taking time for the Lord. That's not a very good servant. A good servant wants to please the one they're serving because they love him. A good servant is going to take the time to serve, not to be so busy with life and things. The next thing we know, we're retiring and we wonder where life went. I've had an interesting week this past week. I have three people that I care for that have lost someone in their life that they cared very deeply about. And I missed out on the prayer request because I wasn't exactly sure how things went. And I apologize for that, but I do truly need your prayers for my brother Jeff. He's going through a very difficult time after losing his fiance. And this servant of Jesus Christ is going to tie into this, because the first thing I want to do is I want to figure out what went wrong. So I start accusing my brother of, I didn't go to him and accuse him of this. In my mind, I'm talking now. Well, look at the way he was living. He knows better than that. He knows the things he was doing is wrong, and he admits it. So I'm not saying something that he's not aware of. But then I walk in his home a couple hours after this happened, and I see his family, and they're all crying, and they're all loving one another, him and his three kids. And I figure out that my place is not to condemn. I need to leave that up to God. That's his job. My job is to come alongside and love him and talk to him and encourage him. And yes, when he asks the questions, answer him correctly. I have a good friend that gave me that advice that, you know, you need to talk to Jeff. You're probably the only one that can do it. You need to talk to him. You need to tell him what he's doing. And I respect that friend, but I'm not going to do that. And I don't think it's because I'm weak. It's because until the Lord opens that door for me to talk to him about that thing, I'm better off staying out of the way. What does a servant of Christ look like? I should finish my story. Then my new daughter-in-law, her uncle, 52 years old, passes away. And then a friend of mine that I deal with at work, not at work, but as a customer of mine, 2 weeks ago I was just talking to him quite in depth about him and his wife, and it wasn't spiritual things, it was just life things, you know. It wasn't spiritual things. And he says, well, he says, I'm pretty young yet. I'm going to work a few more years. I've done well for myself, and we're going to retire and do some things we want to do together. Well, last Wednesday night, he went home and his wife died. They don't know why. They're thinking maybe a heart attack. I haven't heard. These people are all in their early 50s, which I am getting close. So if you're waiting for something, quit waiting. If you're putting this off, getting close to the Lord, serving the Lord, don't be putting it off. We don't know when we're going to be called. I want to start out with Romans, first chapter. And when I'm talking today, I would like you to not look at your neighbor and see how their heart is, but look at yourself and how your heart is. And if God can use you, and if he can, then start being used. And if he can't, then get to the place where you can be used. The greatest commandment, it says, is to love God with all your heart. This isn't in Romans. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but I'm going to ask you to think about that. Are you doing what God commanded you? Do you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Because if you don't do that, you can't fulfill the second commandment. If you can't love God, you're certainly not going to be able to love your neighbor. That's the second commandment. It says, love your neighbor. We don't even know how to love our neighbor if we can't love God. We don't know how to go about it. We have to have his direction. Romans chapter 1, verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I want you to put your name in there. A servant of Jesus Christ, called to be apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which made of the seed of David according to the flesh. There's something in here I never really noticed before. I think it's a big deal. You may not, but I want you to think about it. Made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and decided to and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. There's a transition here. Born of the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. With power according to holiness. He's changed from a fleshly nature to a spiritual nature. And until you change from your fleshly nature to your spiritual nature, you're not going to have power with God. We have to make the transition. We have to quit serving the flesh and serve the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. So we need to do this in steps. We need to have obedience to the faith. Do you have obedience to your faith? Do you do what you believe? And do you have faith in what you do? There's a lot of us, maybe, that we do what someone else believes. Or we look at someone else and we think, that's how we should be. Why aren't we there? Well, maybe you shouldn't be there. You need to be the best person that you can be. We put a stumbling block in front of ourselves saying, well, we can never achieve what that guy has achieved because he's well-spoken, he's well-dressed, he has this, he has that. No, that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for your heart. And he can work with that. He can't work with your flesh. He can work with your heart. It says, among whom ye are also called of Jesus Christ. So Paul was saying, it's not just me, but you guys are also called of Jesus Christ. You also have a purpose in the spreading of this gospel. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, Grace to you and peace from God, our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. So we become sons and daughters of God with the power according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we talked about that a lot this morning. Dave talked about it a lot. We have to have that Holy Spirit. We have to be filled with the Spirit to be a good servant. It says we have to be obedient. And it says that we are also called. Now, Satan, the Bible tells us that he believes and that he trembles. Why does he tremble? Because he doesn't obey. He doesn't show the respect that he needs to show. It says he believes and he trembles. We do not need to tremble if we believe and we do what we're supposed to do. If we are obedient to God, we don't need to tremble. We should have a relationship that is a loving relationship. If my wife does things that I like because she's scared of me, that's not a good relationship. That's called abuse. I have more faith in my God than to think that he wants me to do things because he's going to abuse me, because he's going to cause bad things to happen to me if I don't. I want to do them because he loves me. I'm not saying that bad things can't happen to you if you don't follow God. I think it can, but that's not the kind of relationship he's looking for. Acts 9:15 says, Paul was a chosen vessel for the gospel. And he found that as a glorious thing. You are a chosen vessel for the gospel. It's a glorious thing to be able to tell others about the gospel of Jesus Christ, to change their lives, to assist, because you're not going to save them, but you can assist in their salvation. Sometimes we get called to do things and we try to figure out ways to get out of them. Remember that God had other servants that did that too. He called on them to do things and they said, no, Lord, I can't speak well. Oh, Lord, I can't do that. Sometimes he has persistence and sometimes he called other people to do what his will was. His will is going to be done. Just hope that and pray that you can be a part of it. Be a part of the will that needs to be done. I'm going to turn to, actually stay in Romans here, the 8th chapter. First, I thank God, my God, through Jesus Christ, for all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. Wouldn't that be nice if, and I'm not saying that it isn't, maybe it's nice that it is. I think it's getting more there. That you are known throughout the whole world, which may be in even your whole community, not of who you are, but your faith to God. Wouldn't that be a glorious thing for God to say, you know that group in Alford? They're a special group. Or that group in Fargo, they're a special group. They have great faith, and their lives show it. Because they live according to their faith. And they're a light in the world. They're a light in their community. They're a light in their family. He says, you're spoken out throughout the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Do we pray for one another like we should? Do we always pray for one another? If we don't always pray for another, then we're not praying like we should. It says, I pray always for you. I think most of us would agree here that Paul was a servant, a good servant of Christ. Let's go to 14. He says, I am a debtor both to the Greeks, to the barbarians, both the wise and the unwise. A good servant of Christ doesn't pick and choose who he's going to serve. It's whoever God brings before you. That's who you have to serve. I was just thinking before I got up here because of the servant thing, you know, that the pastor should really not be up here. The pastor should really be below the congregation, speaking up to them. The more you serve the Lord, the more you should be looking up to him, not looking down. I'm not making light of anything. I'm just saying, it's just a thought that comes to my mind, okay? The more we serve our brother and our fellow man, the more we're going to need Jesus Christ in our lives, because we need his strength to do that. If we're standing up on top and telling everybody what they're doing wrong all the time, anybody can do that. It doesn't take a man of God to tell people what they're doing wrong. We have people doing it all the time. Or a woman of God. Verse 17 says, "For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As is written, the just shall live by faith." This faith is a big deal. If we don't have faith in what we're doing, we cannot be a good servant. If we don't have faith in our master, if we don't believe in him, and what he says is true, and what he says is going to work, if we don't have faith in our salvation, if we don't have faith that our loved ones, we're going to see them again someday, however it is, I'm not sure. Says, if you have faith only in this world, what a miserable person you're going to be. And we see a lot of miserable people out there that have faith only in themselves or the material things of this world. And they buy more and they get more and they do the more and they keep themselves really busy because if they have any time to think, they get depressed. If our example is Jesus Christ, what did Jesus do? He went off by himself once in a while and he just thought, didn't he? He prayed and he thought. We got to always be busy. We always got to have something with our mind going because otherwise we get depressed. I hope not. I hope you can take time with the Lord alone and not get depressed. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from creation of the world are clearly seen. You know, I hear, and I do myself, well, I really just don't understand that. I really just don't understand that is not a good excuse. Are we going to understand all the things of God? No. We can understand the things of God that we need to understand. So clearly seen, understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. When the Lord comes back and he calls you, and you start making excuses, it says that we are without excuse. Those people out there living whatever life they live, they might have an excuse. But we have no excuse. We have what it takes. It was given to us in a book. We are told how to do things. We are instructed, and we see the Spirit working amongst people, and we see the Spirit working within the church, and then we go home. And we get busy. And we put the Spirit in the back seat because that Holy Spirit interferes with our daily routine sometimes. And then something dramatic happens in our life and we say, God, where were you? Well, he was probably in the back seat or outside yet someplace or who knows where you left him. That's probably why. Sometimes we want the blessings, but we don't want to give him the reverence that he deserves. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They changed the glory of God, the incorruptible God, into an image made like a corruptible man, and to the birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them over to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their bodies between themselves. who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the Creator more than the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We saw that at conference, didn't we? How many thousands of kids come to watch that young man that they made into a god? They had more than we had at the conference. That was sad to me. Not because the conference was doing anything wrong. That's not what I'm saying. It takes a created being and they put him on this pedestal, and tens of thousands of people will come to worship him. You say, well, it's not worship, they just like his music. No. When you're screaming and raising your hands and calling out his name, that's how we worship God. Maybe. Maybe we don't. We need to be aware of these things. How do we treat God? Do we treat God as well as we treat Justin Bieber? What has Justin did for you lately? You know? Think about it. And I'm not going to get on you about your kids, what they do. That's your business. But if your kids are worshiping Justin more than they're worshiping the Lord, we got a problem. And the world does have a problem. We need to be thankful that we have the gospel of Christ, and we need to be telling that to our children. We need to tell it to one another, and we need to be building each other up instead of finding fault with one another. Because the Bible tells us that too. It tells us to leave the judging who. It says leave it to God. We need to be able to decide what's right and wrong and judge those things, but we can't judge other people like we talked about this morning. That's not our job. He says, who are you to judge another man's servant? Isn't that what the Bible tells us? Who are we to judge another man's servant? All we do is bring condemnation upon ourselves when we do that. Paul, a chosen vessel for the gospel. I hope that you're a chosen vessel for the gospel. And I hope you understand. I know that you are a chosen vessel for the gospel. I hope you understand how glorious that is and what it means and the power that you can have in your life if you only accept Jesus Christ and if you let the Holy Spirit dwell in you and you speak according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh. Romans 2:1 through 4 is going to talk to us about this. It says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For when thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself for thy judgment, and thou doest the same things. I think that's really plain. I think a dummy like me can understand that. But yet I keep on doing it. I keep on making claims. I keep on thinking thoughts that are not mine. It's not my place. I'm taking God's place in my judgmental heart. Not that he has a judgmental heart, but he's the judge. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do these things, and doest the same, that thou escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Sometimes we get a little overzealous. We take the place of God, and God is working in somebody's life. And I'm going to use my brother right now as an example. I get overzealous, and I want to condemn, and I want to tear him down because I know those things are wrong, and they are wrong. I don't necessarily want to tear him down, but I want to point him out. And I hardly wait till I get the chance so I can point that out because, no, my brother already knows that it's wrong. He's fighting against God, and God's chastising him, and God's working with him, and God's doing these things. And I need to stand back, and I need to give him encouragement to do the right thing. It says we condemn ourselves, and God is just in his judgments. But why is God just in his judgments when we can't be? Because God judges the heart. It says man judges the outward appearance, and God judges the heart. Romans 5th chapter. We're going to stay in Romans pretty much, and I'm going to be done here shortly. Romans 5th chapter. I always think I don't have enough to say, but I always have way too much to say. So we'll move along here. Romans 5th chapter, 1 through 5. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into his grace. It says, if you have faith in God, you have access to his grace. Because why? Because you're an imperfect sinner. And so am I. We try, we strive to be perfection, and that's what we're supposed to do. But if we have faith in God, it says we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we also have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. It says we will glory in our tribulations. It says not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we? When we're in a situation where we can give somebody hope and encouragement, do we draw back? Because we're ashamed to be a Christian, because the world looks at Christians as being weirdos, and so we don't want to be a weirdo. We don't want to stand out. We say, well, our young people have a tough time with that. Well, no, the old people have a tough time with that too. That's why our young people have a tough time with it, because us old people have a tough time with it. Amen. We like to push the blame, pass the blame. Sometimes, even as old as I am, sometimes I still have a tough time with it. And I don't know why. It's easy to get up here and talk and to give you good ideas and to read the scripture and to say that I love God and to maybe fool you into thinking that I'm somebody that I'm not. It's a lot more difficult out there. And they're the ones that need it. They're the ones that are flailing in life and struggling, and we hold it back from them. We withhold it from them. We do disgrace to God by holding it back from them, by thinking they're not ready for it. They may be ready for it. We don't understand it. Romans 6:16-18 says, obedience from the heart to the gospel, the servants of righteousness. Obedience from the heart to the gospel makes us servants of righteousness. I got 6:16-18. I'm not going to read that all. But I do want to turn to Romans 8th chapter. Romans 8th chapter, verse 1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This kind of refers back to the very beginning when talked about Jesus. He's born in the flesh, but he walked in the Spirit. We are born in the flesh. We need to walk in the Spirit. So flesh and blood, it says, it can inherit the kingdom of God, right? That's what the Bible tells us. We have to walk in the Spirit. We have to do spiritual things. I said that wrong again. See, I said we have to. We get to. It's tough to overcome those thoughts and those things sometimes. Even, you know, the condemnation that I believe that churches, the Church of God, is starting, is probably advanced in, but starting to understand. The church in Fargo is starting to understand the condemnation is not going to get us anywhere. It's just not. And we can use scriptures like, well, many are called and few are chosen and this and that. Yeah, we can hide behind those. Or we can have the guts that David talked about earlier to let the Holy Spirit lead us. We are not to lead the Spirit. The Spirit is to lead us. If you do these things because you love God, good for you. God will reward you for that. But if you're going to make everybody else believe the way you believe before you can minister to them, it might be a lonely road. Verse 8 says, so that there are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but you are in the Spirit. So if you be in the Spirit of God, so if the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. We have to have that Spirit. That's what makes us children of God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of God is not in you, you're the walking dead. You're a hollow person walking around with not a whole lot of meaning in life. But if the Spirit of God is in you, it says you're made alive. And he's going to give you wisdom through that Spirit. Wisdom of discernment. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are not debtors to the flesh. We are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans 10:15 says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Is that the gospel that we're telling the people? Is that what we're telling people? It says, the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. I'll be honest, that's not the gospel I heard when I was younger. That's not what I heard. And I hope I'm not making anybody a little bit upset with me, because that's not at all my intention. My intention, what I wanted to get across today, the true servant of God, I believe, and I base it on what I've read, we're going to overcome this judgmental heart of ours. We're going to start with a loving heart. We're going to let the Spirit of God dwell in us. And we're going to let the Spirit of God lead us into truth. And we're going to be happy Christians instead of Christians that come to church or go wherever we go. And I'm guilty of this, so don't think I'm not. Don't think I don't think this pertains to me, because it does. You walk around with doom and gloom. You dwell on the bad things in life. And poor me, poor me, poor me. But he says, I've chosen you as to be a vessel of the gospel of Christ. And we should be happy about that, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we get up in the morning and be thankful that we're Christians? Because I tell you, if we're not thankful for being Christians, our children are not going to be thankful for being Christians. If we can't portray the gospel as a beautiful thing, our children are not going to look at it that way. I truly believe that it's a key keeping our young people, and getting them involved in churches, to get them involved in the daily things that we do, to be a light in their community. If we're just a light unto ourselves, and we hold it right in here, and it's a light under the bushel, we're not going to be effective. I think I, for one, I think there's others, if you're honest with yourself, that may have done that. It's time to take the basket off. It says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's why how I want to be remembered. If I should die tomorrow, or on the way home, or getting down here, I want to be remembered as one that preached the glorious gospel of peace and of good tidings and of love and of caring for a fellow man. and our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we, that's my last statement. Okay, I'll shut up then. If we can't get along with one another, how are we going to get along in the kingdom? If we can't get along here, we may not have the chance to get along there. Thank you.